At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 110 of Knowing Wheel, and finally we can say it again, it is race week once more in the world of Formula One. We're back in Azerbaijan, of course. Today we're going to be previewing the weekend's action and having a bit of a recap over the, well, now 3 weeks since Formula One was out, of course, in Australia. And as always, I need my partner in crime. It's Jamie183. How are we doing, mate?
I'm good, I'm very good. I'm looking forward to F1. Being back on the screens this weekend, and it feels like longer than the winter at this point, really. But here we are, we made it.
It's not been a fun few weeks, has it? I think we've all decided a spring break is not what Formula One needs, and I am genuinely quite interested over the rest of this year to sort of see how Formula One gets on now, because, you know, with the way Red Bull have dominated those first three races and the way that, you know, the four-week gap as well, Could there be quite a dip in interest in real-life Formula One this year? We'll wait and see. But we have got plenty to go through today. As always, there'll be timestamps linked down in the description below if you're watching this here on YouTube. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all our other social media bits and pieces will be linked down below. But let's start it then, Jamie, with some big Mercedes news. James Allison is back as technical director.
Yeah, and this is a guy who obviously was technical director, like the exact same role for all of Mercedes' success really in Formula One, and suddenly left. Kind of, it wasn't, I don't think he chose to leave, I think he was put on gardening leave and then not renewed or something like that, but he's back, so maybe they've realized the error of their ways. And one of the key players really in their run of dominance is back in the fold. So I mean, hopefully for Mercedes fans' sake and Mercedes team, the drivers certainly would be hoping this, but you hope it's a step in the right direction, because of course they've not had the last 18 months they would have wanted. Well, the last 3 years really, is it? But they better hope that this could be the start of something new, to quote High School Musical a minute into this.
Well,
podcast.
I think the start of something new, I don't think you're even right. I think it's the going back to the old is what they're really after.
Old,
yeah. But of course, yeah, stepped down from that role about 20 months ago now, of course, replaced by Mike Elliott, who has now been shifted over as the chief technical officer. It did kind of feel, didn't it, especially as we've kind of come into 2023 with the new porpoising regulations and things like that, because the whole big talk last year, wasn't it, of course, was if they try to eliminate porpoising, Mercedes have got a fast race car. Porpoising has been eliminated. Mercedes are still not back to winning. So more and more fingers have been pointed at Mike Elliott. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure he's a great guy and still very, very good at his job. But he's not quite James Allison, is he? Of course, James is, you know, he used to work with Ferrari. He didn't ever race for them, at least to my knowledge. Of course, like we said, has absolutely been there throughout most of the Mercedes dominant run as well. We'll wait and see before we say that Mercedes is going to be right back at the front. But, you know, I feel like this is likely to try and bring them a step forward, isn't it? But will it be now, or are we going to be looking at 2024?
Well, like that kind of like head of a whole department kind of appointment generally doesn't influence the actual day-to-day running of a team or a department straight away. So it could give them a boost, but like the actual people doing the work, doing the like the CAD drawings, the actual engineering parts of the car are going to be the same people. And actually his leadership will galvanize them, and it will make them, like, you know, whenever a new boss comes into a workplace, everyone works a little bit harder to make a good first impression or a good second impression if they were there when he was there before. But it won't, like, this car is already formed. They're not going to be revolutionizing it massively over the course of the rest of the year. But for next year, certainly, or for maybe the B-spec car that they're talking about, as whispers about as well, then it could make a big difference there. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and of course, you know, people like to give me stick on this show for being a bit of a Mercedes hype man. I tell you what, I do not hype up Mercedes in the way George Russell does. He reckons Mercedes have already made more progress in the 3 weeks we've been off Formula One than they did throughout the entirety of the winter. Are we going to be seeing a Mercedes 1-2 in Baku, Jamie?
No, we're not.
No. It's just not going to happen, is it?
Yeah, it's weird though, because Mercedes in the past, like, even when they were getting like 1-2s every week, they would still go into race weekend saying, oh, I'm not the fastest this weekend. Even in 2020, which was, like, on paper, one of the fastest cars ever.
But it was the fastest car ever on paper.
Yeah. And they were still going to race weekend saying, oh, we've got to look at Red Bull this week, they're going to be dangerous. And now that they're probably third fastest, maybe even fourth in race pace, then their driver, well, George Russell certainly, is saying, nah, we're going to smash it, we're so confident. And it's weird. It's like he's not read the rule book of being a Mercedes driver. Because Hamilton was such, like, he was a broken record for saying that, oh, we need to watch our backs this race.
We have to remember these days kind of vibes from Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a bit weird. Of course, George Russell, you know, it's a bit like Lewis Hamilton is... You know, he's a wily old fox, of course. Quick shout-out as well, Jim. I don't know if you've seen this, but he was at the British Touring Cars this weekend at Donington. Have you seen anything about this?
No, I haven't.
So he was at Donington this weekend, but he was incognito. So he stood out in the rain for 9 hours, like, wearing a coat and a face... I think he was wearing, like, a face mask or something on, so no one could tell it was him. It was incredible just to watch his brother, Nick, racing. But anyway, that was fantastic, yeah. But back to obviously what we were mentioning. George Russell, he reckons Mercedes are going to be right back at the front. It could, and you know, I do see a scenario where we've kind of got Mercedes as the locked-in number two team. And you know, maybe they could be, as you mentioned, obviously, like 2020 Red Bull. Maybe they could be like the 2020 Red Bull that sort of keep them on their toes, maybe can snooker away a couple of victories here or there away from them. But I don't think either of... I mean, we've just kind of decided, haven't we, this year, it's Red Bull's season again.
Yeah. And I don't think they'll whitewash it. I think we'll definitely see wins for certainly Mercedes. Probably Leclerc grabs a few. Dare I say
Alonso. He grabbed a couple last year. Oh, go on, say it, Jamie. Get that for the clips.
Alonso is going to win a race this year as well. So Red Bull will not go unbeaten.
Oh, no, they won't go unbeaten. No Formula One team's ever done that. Yeah, we're getting that. Well, that one will be clipped. That'll be on the TikToks and the Instagrams and all that good stuff. Continuing, though, about Charles Leclerc and Mercedes, Jamie. Apparently now it's an open rumour, which for those of you that don't really know, an open rumour is just basically something that everyone knows, inside the Formula One paddock, that Charles Leclerc is in big talks with Mercedes. Now, we, of course, already mentioned this. I think it was back pre-season, wasn't it?
Mm.
We did a podcast... we obviously mentioned this. Could we see Charles Leclerc go to Mercedes? If so, who would he replace? Why would it be Lewis Hamilton? And would Hamilton retire, or would he go the other way?
Well, it obviously would be Lewis Hamilton, because Mercedes have put all of their future eggs in the basket of George Russell. So it would be incredibly dumb to replace him, I think.
Send him back to Williams.
Yeah. Give him a development loan. No, I don't see that happening. But I feel like the Leclerc, like, Ferrari relationship has kind of gone through the classic Ferrari cycle that we've spoken about many times. So
it's winding down, isn't it?
Yeah, he's been there 5 years. So he's definitely in the deterioration stage. So it's only really a young driver coming in and beating him away from leaving. So we'll see.
Maybe
Carlos Sainz got a look over his shoulder. But I think Leclerc is clearly not that happy at Ferrari. I don't think he has really been since probably 2019, really, which is quite a long time ago now.
Yeah, I was going to say the first year he was there.
Yeah, so he could leave, and Mercedes would be a good home for him. I think him and George Russell would make one of the best driver partnerships we've ever seen, really. It's right up there with, like, the Senna Prost and Hamilton Rosberg, probably a bit below those. But
I mean, I think putting Senna Prost and Hamilton Rosberg on the same level is unfair. I'm just going to put that out there. Yes.
How many other double world champion lineups have we seen?
a fair few back in the 80s and 90s.
I guess.
And then 2007.
2015-16 McLaren as well. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it would be very exciting if he does. But the problem is, Mercedes will not kick out Lewis Hamilton. It would have to be, I feel, Hamilton's decision to leave. Because he has literally been the face of that team for the last 10 years. So,
sorry, I've just thought of a really obscure one as well.
Okay, go ahead.
2005 Renault for one race at the end of the year.
05 Renault?
Or 06 it might have been. Jacques Villeneuve and Alonso, wasn't it?
That wasn't 05 or 06, I can tell you that. That was fizzy.
Was it? Was it earlier? Anyway, sorry, yeah. We'll go back to the actual point we were talking about.
What about 00 Williams with Villeneuve and Button?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go, future champs. We'll get out. We'll get
really
back on top.
We've really gone down a rant there, haven't we?
Yes. What was I saying? Oh, they won't kick out Hamilton. They, I mean, I think if Hamilton would like to make way for Leclerc, then he might be invited to. But I think they won't. They're not going to say you're out. We're replacing you, because Hamilton has been that team for the last 10 years.
Plus, also. And this is going to be, you know, a bit, potentially, we might have different answers here. Do we believe Charles Leclerc is a better driver than Hamilton? Obviously, don't get me wrong, he's much more of a future-proof option.
Not now. I think that's fairly...
No.
I would say that for sure, but...
Richard,
yeah,
sorry. Richard,
yeah, it's been a while since one of them. I think, like, if you're looking at the next 10 years of your team, you'd rather have Leclerc.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's one of those.
Yeah, so all of F1... I mean, we've been off Formula 1 for 3 weeks. Silly season has got to kick off again, hasn't it?
Yeah.
There's still a tiny part of me that goes, could we see Hamilton in a red suit?
I kind of don't want to, because he just wouldn't win. Well, like, knowing Hamilton's luck with changing teams, Ferrari would just go and dominate again.
But,
so.
Jamie, this is the whole point. Like, he probably wouldn't win, you're right. But imagine if he did.
If he did... people would never shut up about him being the GOAT, and I would hate it.
I think if he won a world championship with Ferrari, like, for anyone that still argues he isn't the GOAT, that would solidify it.
Car merchant.
I mean, he'd then only be behind Fangio for different teams to win a world championship with.
Yeah, and in the 50s, people change team every week. So
exactly. Fangio did, that's how he won one of his titles, yeah. Or two of them even.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, part of me would like to see Hamilton go to Ferrari out of... like, just completeness of his career, almost, because everyone's a Ferrari fan. Even if they don't say they're a Ferrari fan, they're a Ferrari fan, to quote Sebastian Vettel. But I don't believe he would win a world championship.
No, sensibly, nor do I. But imagine if he did, Jamie. Oh. Imagine if he did.
Even a non-Hamilton fan, I would kind of rate it, but not really, because people wouldn't shut up about it.
Anyway, talking about other potential driver moves in the future... one that I don't think either of us were really predicting at all, were we? Is Franz Tost and Helmut Marko both believe Yuki Tsunoda is going to be a Red Bull driver in the future. And honestly, I don't really see what they've seen in this.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gone from having a competent teammate in Pierre Gasly for his first 2 years, and suddenly they've got effectively a rookie, even though he's 28. And he's beating this 28-year-old rookie to Vries, and they're like, oh, he's actually good, but no he's not. It's just both the drivers are now average at best. So I hate to be disrespectful, but I don't think either of them will ever drive a Red Bull in a permanent capacity, and if they do, I don't think they'll pull up any trees, so, which is good, because F1's going carbon neutral, so it better not be.
No, I mean, it's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? Because don't get me wrong, like, obviously, 2021, we've discussed this before, haven't we, the journey of Yuki Tsunoda. Mm. 2021, he didn't do badly for a rookie, but he also wasn't particularly good.
No.
However, it was, of course, widely accepted that, and in his mind as well, he was pushed up to Formula 1 a year early. Mm-hmm. And that's not only about getting experience in Formula 2, it was more the physical aspect of driving a Formula 1 car. He wasn't strong enough physically. He wasn't healthy enough as well, of course. He always said, you know, his diet was awful. Yeah. He wasn't ready to have a Formula 1 diet just yet. 2022 came along, and whether there was a combination of Gasly starting to check out of AlphaTauri as well, or whether it, you know, I think it was a combination of both. Mm-hmm. Gasly was starting to get a bit bored. car wasn't as great, so you're a bit less motivated. But Yuki definitely took a step up.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like, again, he's stepped forward.
Yeah.
But I don't sort of see how he's stepped forward into a position, you know, because really, we're comparing him against two other or three other drivers here, aren't we, for a Red Bull seat. Daniel Ricciardo, Sergio Perez, Lando Norris. Is he better than any
Not
of
Alex
those
Albon?
Three drivers?
Do you think he would ever go back?
No.
Okay.
I think Albon will get himself out of the Red Bull program entirely soon and just go Williams, to be honest.
Yeah, it would be probably best for him. I suppose they've given him his chance already, haven't they? So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think
like,
if you compare,
he's not
Yuki
better
to
than
those,
any of those three.
Yeah. No, he's not. And even like, I don't think straight to Red Bull, but I'd like to see him go up against Liam Lawson in AlphaTauri, because I think Lawson would give him a good run for his money. So
yes, that would be the big test.
When you've got the likes of like Hadjar. I forget the rest of the Red Bull drivers in
Dennis Hauger.
Dennis Hauger needs to step forward this year. Our 2022 champion.
Desperately.
According to this podcast.
Yeah, yeah, we were all on the Hauger hype train. How quickly that fell apart.
Yeah, yeah. So it will be interesting. I do think they're kind of just trying to give him a break, because I know in 21 they were extremely harsh on him. So maybe they're just trying to give him some confidence back, and not just self-destruct his confidence like they did back in 21. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think that leads on to the other question, of course, that you just mentioned there. Could we see De Vries dropped mid-season for Liam Lawson? Because let's be fair, even if he's still winning Super Formula, Red Bull don't care about winning that title. Super Formula obviously doesn't mean anything to them. And I'm sure Lawson, if given the opportunity to come to Formula One, would absolutely take it. Could De Vries get dropped mid-season? Because, I mean, really, it's felt like ever since the start, he's just a stopgap, isn't it? Until they get someone else up the ranks.
Yeah, and I'm upset still a little that they didn't give Lawson a chance to finish his F2 season, because he did finish fourth in the end. He definitely got enough super license points to be in F1, which is what they doubted mid-season. So, and had they known that, I do think they'd have put him in for this year. But unfortunately, they went a bit early. No, he finished third in F2 last year, Lawson. So he definitely got
just
super license
it.
Points. Yeah, so yeah, he obviously won that first race in Super Formula a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, Gasly did this in 2017.
No, he didn't.
So
he didn't win his debut race.
He didn't win his debut race, but I mean, he competed in Super Formula, was on for a like championship challenge, and then was called up to Red Bull, called up to Toro Rosso mid-season. So it's not out of the question. And I do think De Vries will have to step up soon, because so far it's just been not that much, really. So
it's just been pretty anomalous, hasn't it? You could easily forget.
Yeah.
And I mean, part of that's due to AlphaTauri as well, but you could easily forget he's just not there.
Yeah, like I get him and Sergeant confused last week on the pod, because I was like,
"You did?
Who are these two? They're just here."
That was quite funny as well, wasn't it? Of course, you know, we were segueing beautifully as well today, Jamie. Of, you know, talking about Red Bull drivers, Daniel Ricciardo is still adamant on a Formula One return next year, except for the fact that he's not fazed by how few seats there are available and only wants to join a top team. Now, this again, I mean, we're just going through F1 silly season, aren't we, currently? Really, if he wants to join a top team, he's probably looking at two seats, either replacing Sergio Perez, or if Leclerc went to Mercedes, could he be a weird shoehorn in at Ferrari?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Ferrari are both up in the air, are they not? Because I think Sainz hasn't got a contract.
They wouldn't
yet.
Get rid of both drivers in one go. I don't think Ferrari have ever done that.
Oh, Sainz does have a contract till 24, actually. So, yeah. He renewed last year at Imola, didn't he? Yeah, yeah. So, potentially, if Hamilton did call it a day, Leclerc goes over to Ferrari.
To Mercedes.
To Mercedes, sorry. Then there is a possibility. There is a free seat there. I don't know what other candidates you'd put forward for that. I guess the likes of maybe Ocon would be up for that. Like, but then you're looking for a team leader, aren't you, if you've lost Leclerc? So
I don't think Ferrari want to hire a Frenchman after Alain Prost.
Yeah, true. But if you're looking at candidates to lead Ferrari at this point in their career, who really...
Do you want Ocon leading your team?
Well, I don't. I'm not saying that. I'm just like, they're really... Could you persuade Norris to make the move? I don't think you could, from McLaren to Ferrari.
I do.
Who? Yeah, there's...
I mean,
really
there's two drivers there. Well, not sensibly, but I could believe doing it. Lando Norris, Lewis Hamilton.
The Ferrari is pretty big. Yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah. Let us know in the comments. Who do you think would, if Leclerc was to go to Mercedes and Hamilton does retire, who would be the team leader at Ferrari? Because I don't think Carlos Sainz is up for it. Or up to it, sorry. Right. He might probably would be right. up for it.
Watch Fernando Alonso go back.
Yeah. Yeah, and other than that, they've not really got any super exciting young drivers at the minute, Ferrari, have they?
No.
So
no.
It's all
weird and wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, back the Iceman back again. But of course, you know, we've said Ferrari there, but on the alternate to that, this was kind of just me, I'm thinking hypothetically, could we see, I mean, I don't think it'll happen this year, but could we see Fernando Alonso retire, whether it be the end of next year or something like that, Sergio Perez go back to Aston Martin, now they're a real force, and then Ricciardo get his Red Bull seat? Could we just basically be back to 2018?
If you're talking, 2 years away, you've got a whole like host of other new young drivers to come into sport, like Teo Pourchaire.
That is also very true.
There's going to be at least three or four, you imagine, that are currently racing F2 and F3 that would be wanting to step into those kind of seats. So the reshuffle of bringing back the likes of Ricciardo and bringing Perez back to his old team, I guess it's worked for Haas in the last 2 years. But I don't think that's a very likely scenario, really.
But, no, it's all a bit weird and wonderful, isn't it? Speaking of weird and wonderful, Jamie, have you heard the great news today?
I don't think I have, really. I've not spent much time on Twitter, so...
Nikita Mazepin is apparently looking for a way to get back into Formula One, ladies and gentlemen. And this one did make me chuckle.
Isn't he still banned by F1, technically?
Well, he wants to get those decisions revoked and overruled.
Compete as an independent, maybe.
Well, exactly. That's what he'd have to do, is race... Like, Robert Schwartzman obviously races under an Israeli license, doesn't he? Mazepin would have to try and get a license elsewhere, but I wonder how that would sit with his dad.
Yeah. Who's an oligarch for Putin himself. So, I'm not sure that would go down very well. I also do not know anyone who would employ him.
Why would you? Mick Schumacher was deemed too slow for Formula One now, and Mazepin was a second slower than him.
I think it must have been around 2017 when the new regs came in for F1. Pastor Maldonado was like, I want to get back into the sport. It's like, okay, you might want to, but who's going to employ you?
who wants you back in the sport?
Yeah.
Crazy,
so I don't
crazy
think that'll,
scenes.
That'll go very far.
From Nikita Mazepin. And the last quick little mention we had as well was James Vowles believes that Williams have been unlucky to only score 1 point this year, but also said that the Williams factory and IT systems are beyond atrocious. Which is an interesting thing, isn't it, Jamie? Because it's one of those ones that you never sort of think about from the outside, but does make perfect sense. Williams probably still run Windows Vista.
They probably, if that, Windows 98 maybe. Like I've
MS-DOS.
I've done a handful of jobs working in the NHS, and the NHS admin system is beyond horrendous. The amount of data they store and the amount of data entry that people like me have to do, which is fine because it's money. So, but yeah, it's the Williams F1 team probably run similar systems to what the NHS do, because both of them had their heyday in the 1970s, and need a lot of work probably these days. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all that they're horrific at data management and IT systems and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Just a quick little mention there. For, I think, would we say Williams are unlucky to have only scored a single point?
Unlucky, like, it's maybe the wrong word, but, like, Albon was running sixth in Melbourne. So, I guess...
This is the thing. This is what I saw yesterday. Literally, someone said, how are Williams fans not upset that Albon potentially threw away their best results since, like, 2018?
Yeah. But then they do... Like, they blame that on wind, but then Rosberg gets stick for 2015 USA for not seeing wind. So,
because he was in a Mercedes, not a Williams. And you didn't see Albon throwing a hat around the place afterwards.
Yeah, I do think it probably goes down as a driver error for Albon, unfortunately. But they've certainly got the car. They haven't got the slowest car, so it should, especially on street,
slide
back you. I think the AlphaTauri is worse than the Williams.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, Jamie, Azerbaijan, Baku Grand Prix, Sprint Weekend. What are our thoughts and feelings? We've got 5 races over the next 6 weeks. Things are about to get crazy, aren't they?
I'm really looking forward to this. And we've done a lot of negativity about sprint races in the past. But I'm very curious to see how this new format goes. I think it'll be a lot better than previous, to be honest. I know we said this when the changes got announced, but the new qualifying format of basically 2 separate qualifying sessions, one for the Grand Prix, like normal, and one for the sprint race, I just think that'll make a huge difference because people will have nothing to lose in the sprint race, which means they'll go crazy and there'll be tons of crashes and mentalness. So we shall wait and see if that does happen, but I think it'll be a big improvement.
I've just thought of an idea to make it better.
Is it sprinklers?
No.
That'll be fun.
Do your sprint quali as like a normal qualifying format. Do your sprint race. And then they go out in reverse order from the sprint race for one-shot qualifying for the real race. That way the sprint still carries some weight, but not a lot of weight. Because it means if you win, you got a more rubbered-in circuit, but if it rains.
Yeah, they tried this doing qualifying not at the same time back in 2003, I think.
Three, yeah.
Where you had basically a one lap at a time, everyone takes turns. And it just allowed people to get screwed over by weather, which was just not very
But it
fair,
almost
really.
Left us with an Arrows 1-2 in Magny Cor.
Yeah, Magny. That's very, very French of you. Thank you for that. I don't think that's a great idea. I'm sure they probably spitballed some stuff like that when they were thinking, how can we improve sprint races? But I think almost keeping it simple. We know qualifying works. We know racing works. Let's just do it twice.
Well, the racing doesn't always work, let's be fair.
Well,
we've had some
people have been
proper
watching
snooze
it for 73
fests.
Years.
Yeah, very, so. Very, very true. But of course, yeah, Baku this weekend, then we fly out to Miami the weekend after that, don't we? And then
makes
we're back in Imola, of course. You know, this whole trying to cut down the carbon and all that good stuff as well. So, yeah, we're going near basically 3 continents in 3 weeks. It's kind of mad. But It's going to get exciting, Jamie. We're going to have loads of podcasts to do, aren't we?
Yeah.
We've also, therefore, because of the sprint weekend format change, got even more points available in our prediction league. Because we're going to have to do sprint qualifying. Did we used to do sprint race or did we just do sprint winner?
We just did sprint winner.
Just did sprint winner. And then we have real qualifying and top 3.
Wow.
I think you're winning, aren't you? So there's like 12 points available?
Time.
Did we not? I thought you
no,
did.
I definitely got 6 points and you got about 2. So
I think it was 13. No, I don't think it was that bad. Was it 13-6?
Maybe you got 4 points.
I think you got 4 and I got 2, to be completely honest.
No, I definitely got 6 because I got the top 3 right, apart from Hamilton swap for Russell. I definitely got 6. But we will sort that out in post.
Let's call it 13-8.
Okay, well, I'll go and do a VAR check on this in a second. But what was the question? Oh, predictions, indeed.
Predictions.
This is just going to be stabs in the dark, really. But since you're losing,
yes.
You can go first.
Oh, thank you. Right, sprint qualifying then. I am saying Max Verstappen. Exciting,
wow.
I know.
Adventurous.
Sprint race, Max Verstappen. Qualifying, Sergio Perez. Top 3.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Top 3. Max Verstappen. Sergio Perez. Lewis Hamilton.
Interesting.
A lot of streaks coming to an end.
Yeah, it's over after 101. That's his final podium. I will go sprint qualifying. Max Verstappen.
We
race.
Are so boring.
No, here we go. Sprint race.
Esteban Ocon.
George Russell.
Whoa, Russell. Okay.
Something crazy is going to happen, I believe.
Okay.
Real qualifying, Verstappen. Real top 3, Verstappen. Okay, you can't finish first hand.
You can't put Verstappen on the podium twice, mate.
Who do I want to say in second place? I will say Russell Hamilton.
Okay, Perez is having another nightmare, you reckon?
James Allison, he's here.
James Allison has fixed Mercedes immediately.
Indeed. And the final thing I think we need to do, which I should have shoehorned in earlier but didn't,
okay.
is a little quiz. And speaking the new qualifying changes, which have... Yeah, we've had a few little tweaks to the Q1-2-3 format, as in the times for the sessions are changing. But
are they?
It has been... Well, for the sprint, sorry, they are, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
So,
okay.
F1's been using this Q1-2-3 since 2006.
Yes.
In which time, a minimum of 39 Q1 eliminations gets you into the top 10 for the most Q1 eliminations.
Oh,
and the most
dear
anyone
me.
Has is 71. You have to name me the top 10 most eliminated drivers in Q1s. And you have 1 minute starting now.
Lance Stroll. Nicholas Latifi.
Yep.
You said 39 will get you in the top 10.
Yeah.
Mick Schumacher.
No.
No, he didn't do 39 Grand Prix. here we go. Pascal Wehrlein. Marcus Ericsson.
Yep, he's top.
That's mad. Oh, this is awful. What? How evil is this for a quiz? Trying to think of... Kazuki Nakajima?
No.
No? Trying to think. It was like a bad qualifier back in the day. Adrian Sutil?
Yep.
Okay.
he was fourth, which is within character.
That's mad. Kevin Magnussen?
Yep.
Okay.
The rest are all in the same... realm, but you've got 5 seconds.
Right, okay. Can you give me the realm?
Okay. There's your time gone. You had five
that's
left.
Fine. I'll take five out of ten on that.
Think about, like, between 2010 and 2014.
This is the thing. I didn't think any of those drivers had done badly enough. So you've got Timo Glock,
yep.
Heikki Kovalainen.
Yep.
Naren Kartikeyan.
Yep.
I'm trying to think. Pedro De La Rosa, did he do enough races?
Yeah, he did.
And then...
He was eliminated every time he entered a race.
Karun Chandhok?
No.
No, 39 times.
Do you want to know?
I want to try and get it, but I don't think I will.
He did 2 seasons in these bad teams, but not for the same team.
Oh, see, I can never remember who was where back then. I said Jarno, I said Heikki, didn't I?
It wasn't Trulli.
Timo Glock?
No, you said him already.
Oh, was it Jarno?
No, it wasn't Trulli.
Who was it?
It was
Charles Peak. Of course it was, yeah. I did say that before you said it, to be fair. So I'm taking that.
Just about.
Evil, evil little quiz that, Jamie. Fair play to you. That was interesting. Yeah, I just could not think who was going to be there.
You did well. 5 out of 10.
Are you sure Max Chilton wasn't in there?
No, he wasn't. Eliminated less than 39 times.
Fair play to him. Because he was also really good at finishing races. Not in particularly good places, just really good at finishing them. But there we go then. I think that is going to wrap us up for this week's Formula One podcast. Of course, we will be back next week. We're going to have a lot of double shows coming up, aren't we, Jamie? We're going to be at episode 150 before we know it. We'll be back next week, though, of course, to review the action from the Bahrain, from the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, and then previewing Miami later on next week as well. So, you know, if you want to enjoy, please do make sure you leave a like, get yourself subscribed, hit follow, all that good stuff. Like we said, socials will be linked down in the comments below. But yeah, that's going to do us for this one, and we'll be back very, very soon with more Knowing Wheel.